I hope the sound is good enough. Now, a big shout out to everyone watching on Facebook too. How are you going? I'm just going to get this set up. Okay, today is Palm Sunday. Now, this is the day that Jesus rides into Jerusalem as the anointed king. Now, the way he does that is very, very interesting, and that's what I want to look at. Because Jesus is the almighty, powerful Messiah. Now, it's interesting that around this time of year, the Messiah is played and sung right around the world. It's an Easter time. And interestingly, the person who wrote the libretto, or the words for that, Charles Jennens, he focuses on just three things: incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection. Nothing about the life of Jesus, nothing about the journey that he was on. It was just those three things. Now, interestingly, the Gospels focus on Jesus' ministry of 3 years. They only focused on 3 years, and 35% of those is the last week. So this is Passion Week. I want to suggest to you that it's the most important week in the history of the world, because this is the moment when Jesus shows something extremely puzzling and interesting, but breathtakingly powerful, and that is the anointed king. Now, let's look back at prophecy. Lenny has talked about the prophetic and the prophetic dream that she had. And I want to suggest that all those fish in the net are the people that we meet, the people we come in contact with every day. And so we're not the ones who are responsible for bringing them to Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But just think about this. Every person that we touch is a person who is influenced by the Holy Spirit that is in us. Now, before we think about Jesus coming into Jerusalem, let's look at a prophecy of Zechariah 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Now, what I want to focus on at this point is that we have an immense and awesome God. His being is in Jesus himself. Jesus Christ is the anointed king. And the people who greet him with the word Hosanna. Now, Hosanna is a word that we sing quite often. It's a word of praise. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And this is what people are shouting as Jesus comes into Jerusalem on a donkey. But it's also, this is something that we don't realize, Hosanna is also a plea for salvation. The Hebrew words yasha, deliver and save, and anna, beg, beseech, combine to find from the word that in English is Hosanna. Literally, Hosanna means, I beg you to save, or please deliver us. So it's really important to think about when we say Hosanna to God in the highest, which of course is a word of praise, and we say, praise to the Lord, Hosanna, but we're also saying, you are powerful to save, and we beg you to save us. It's a cry of for salvation and a recognition that Jesus is able to save. Now, I think that will change the way in which we sing and say Hosanna to Jesus as he comes rides into Jerusalem. So the humble king, I mean, this is something that I've been thinking about. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them and he'll send them right away. Now, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the disciples. They say, wait a minute. Are we just going to walk up to this guy and say, the Lord needs your donkey? And the whole of this week is filled with things like this that would have blown the disciples' minds. But this took place, and obviously it's set up by the Holy Spirit. It's set up so that the prophecy of Zechariah would be fulfilled. So this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So here we have the author and finisher of the entire universe comes into Jerusalem in humility. And this is the thing I've been puzzling about for some time. The creator of the universe rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. Okay? And this suggests to me the divine anomaly, infinite power and infinite humility. Now, I want to think about how big God is, okay? And a useful way for me to do this is to think about how big the universe is. Now, for the latest telescopes, we can see 46.5 billion years away. Okay, so that's in every direction. 46.5 billion years. A light year is 9.46 trillion kilometres. So the numbers here, the distance, are almost impossible for us to comprehend. This is huge, and God holds all this in his hand. Now, that's not only distance, 46.5 billion light years, it's also time, because that far away is as far as we can see that that God has created the universe. So the divine anomaly is something that I think just blows our mind. Now, why does the most awesome creator of the universe decide to come into Jerusalem in humility? I mean, what is the point of this? Now, I want you to think about humans' normal response to challenge. We have armies that go out and fight wars, which they claim to be for God's sake, okay? And these armies of every religion, human beings want to fight. But Jesus comes into Jerusalem humbly. Yeah, that's great. It's just frozen. Anyway, so I want to ask, what is the point of Jesus demonstrating humility when he has this power? And the answer must be that there is power in humility. There is power in the capacity to not put yourself forward and to not dominate others. So here's an interesting thing. The arrival of Jesus in Jerusalem is a fulfillment of prophecy. You see, on the first day of the week in Jerusalem, in fact, throughout Israel, they recite this psalm: "Lift up your heads, O you gates; be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in." Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, O you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. But how does Jesus realize this prophecy? With absolute humility. He doesn't come into Jerusalem in a chariot or on horses or with a great retinue. He comes on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And Jesus fulfills this prophecy in a way that completely blows the mind of anybody who's thinking about the power of God. God is awesome. God turns graves into gardens, as we've sung. And yet, the real power that Jesus shows is the power of his humility. And so, moving on to Passion Week. The disciples cried out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees said, "Jesus, you better stop this. I mean, this is blasphemy. What are they doing?" And he says, "Look, if they didn't cry out, even the stones would." So the fulfillment of prophecy is demonstrated in the way in which the disciples throwing cloaks on the ground and saying Hosanna. So it's a great moment of triumph. And this begins Passion Week. Now, what a week this is. So the very next day after Jesus comes in humility, he clears the temple. And this is in accordance with the prophecy, you know, that you have turned my house into a den of robbers. And so he clears the temple and he whips people out. And it just shows to us that humility, there is power in humility and there is muscle in meekness, you know. And this is what Jesus is demonstrating. So, the following week, the disciples record the most important teachings of Jesus, the parables. Now, Luke is a bit different. Luke has parables earlier, but in fact, they choose to put Jesus' teaching, Jesus' most powerful teaching, in this week, the week after he has come into Jerusalem, the week that he is doomed to be crucified. Mary, as we know, anoints Jesus at Bethany. Now, this is a sermon in itself, you know, but she pours precious oil, precious perfume on his feet and dries it with her hair, as we know. And the disciples say, what a waste, you know, this could have been used to help the poor. And Jesus says, she is anointing me for my death, you know. So she anoints Jesus, and at that moment, or in the following day, we find this incredible moment when Jesus eats with the disciples in the Last Supper. So this is something that, you know, we've joined in for 2,000 years. Think about that. And this week is an amazing opportunity for us to participate in this absolutely phenomenally important demonstration of Jesus' salvation. So, first, he predicts Jesus' betrayal, and it said, the person who betrays me will be the person who dips their bread in this with me. And Judas says, Lord, is it me? And Jesus says, you've spoken. So then, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Now again, put yourself in the shoes of the disciples. This is my body. And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, the new covenant, of course, as we know, is the covenant of love, the covenant of redemption. And what Jesus is saying, my blood has redeemed you. My blood has paid the price for everybody, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. And, of course, the trick is for us to accept that, to accept the fact that we have been redeemed and we are holy. I've had an argument with people about this. Most of us think of holiness as purity, as goodness. But Jesus' death on the cross, his redemption, has made us holy, set apart for God's desire. So I want to ask the team to come forward as we participate in this moment in the most important week in human history. Jesus has come into Jerusalem, not in power, but on a donkey. He's demonstrated this incredible anomaly that the author of the universe could come into Jerusalem in humility. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that most of the time I'm going to still puzzle about this, because how can a being, God who's created this universe, which as far as we can see is 46.5 billion light years away, and of course that is also the time that he has created the universe. So